in touch with the Ol Yaakov. I wanna send him, I told him I wanted to send him, because he wrote in Hilchos Sifrei. So I wanted to send him a sefer also. He sent me his out of print sefer on Bishlach.
Do you know where you can get the sefer that you put it in Shulman's museum? Because a lot of stores didn't have it.
Right. It's the same fellow. Ask Rav David to. He also put, he has.
Oh, the Shulman's museum is
right. Shulman's for Rav Nevin's stuff.
Schatzkus?
How do you pronounce his name?
Schatzkus.
I can't do it. I just call him Ol Yaakov. It's convenient when you have a tenacity, when you have a tough last name, you just write a safer and then it's solved. Convenient. Okay. Here are booklets for the Siyata Shrine this week. Okay. There you go.
Wait.
Okay. This Siyata Deshmaya, there's something beautiful that we didn't touch on at the end of Siman Kuf Chaf that I want to get back to in the Taz, and then today will be a Hakdama. And starting to get into the nitty gritty in Bishlachma, I'll give that a short introduction of how the Siyata Deshmaya I want to attack it with you. We had left off at the end of Siman Kuf Chaf with the halacha of Tefilas Kenem Al Yidei Goy. So it's an absolutely fascinating taz. The Mechaber told us in Kuf Chaf Sif Tesvav, Im hitvil kelim al yidei akum, if tefila is done al yidei akum, also on tefila. So then in such a case, the tefila is effective. So the Taz comments, Taz makes a diuk in a lashon of mechaber. L'chol ramash ma lashon dafka diyevet, ava l'chadchila lo. So he points out, the lashon of the mechaber was, is the Taz of Katin Zayin, that lashon was, im hitvil kelim, if the tefila was done al yidei akum. So the Taz points out that Lechura, this is a Machlokas Amorayim that we saw last week, the very, very important Gemara in Chulin, Daf Lamed Aleph, whether Tefillah requires Kavanah or not. So he points out that most Rishonim say that we paskin, that Tefillah doesn't require Kavanah. So Mashma, yet nevertheless, the Mechaber says, the Eved good, Lechatchila lo. So one way you could go is say that we're Choshesh Lechatchila for those Amorayim who say that you need Tefillah, Kavanah for Tefillah. But the Taz doesn't like that. Elo be'emesenu ken. Do am makar din zeh, do tshuva l'ramban, kosu shem b'loshen zeh. U'ma sh'amret mal da'at bil kli al yidei akum, zeh lo shemati. Says the Ramban first, that he doesn't have a mesora. Avol nirin dvarim shu mutter, shelo amrin d'boi kavanah, elon al tiyas yidayim l'achila. The most machmer that you would be is to say that you need Kavana for Natil stand for Achila, Shahumi Shum Strach Truma. Mashma, the Afla Chatchila Shari. Mashma the Chatchila, that it would be permissible. Vahi Chuva, he shall a Rajba. Vahu Chuva, and that Chuva is from the Rajba. But also Chuva Shamli Ilmine Kosov, Shil Inyin Natil Sidayim Tzora Kavana, O Kavana Sanotel, Kavana Sanosin. Vahilu Hachi, Hikil Inyin Tfilas Kelim Afila Chatchila. So both the Ramban and the Rajba, it's a question of whether who the Tshuvas HaRamban were written by, but at the end of the day, they say that Tfilas Kelim, it's acceptable to do Al Yidei Goy L'chatchila. So the question then is, why did the Mechaber say Im Hitbil Kelim? That's the diuk that Taz is bothered by. So this is the classic Taz, where he quotes his father-in-law's pshat, and he says his father-in-law missed the boat entirely. Umori v'chani kosev sh'arajbil hikil sfiraso. The Sfira lay gabi nida shekava below the kavana. The Rajba himself holds that nida doesn't need kavana, like we saw the pashtus of the Gemara. Avul didan de machmirin bin nida, but we lechatchila are choshesh. The Bach himself has a chumra that says that nida should be mechaveh, not like that wild tshuva that we had from Ramesha Lamaisa in terms of bidyevet, but lechatchila she needs to be mechaveh. So gam de tfilas kliyai de akum. And then the Taz is tough on his father-in-law. Va'agav tirdei v'girsa lo ayin b'simin kuf tzadichas beis Yosef. The Rashba svilei nida tzrich kavane. Says this is not correct, because the Rashba holds that you need kavana when it comes to a nida, yet over here, he's makel. So the Bach wanted it to be totally in the sugya of whether you need kavana or not. That's not true, because even the Rashba who is machmer by nida is makel by tefilas kelim. Then he has another kasha. And then he gives a fascinating answer. He says, Aval Tamili. He answers the question with a Jewish question. Heyach yivarech al mashiach bilo vikachanim. Vayisrael einoisa klum. How could, what's going to be with the bracha? Who's going to make the bracha? What's going to be with the bracha? Al karchach ein roi lashes ken lechatchila. So he says, the issue over here is that you're losing the bracha. So it's a brilliant shot in Lashon Mechaber. Einach enami. Mitzad hilchos tvilas kelim. There's no problem, according to the way we paskin, that you don't need kavana. But the moment in which the guy is going to do it, so then who's going to, the guy is not going to make a bracha, you're not going to make a bracha, assumes the taz, so then if you, then in such a case, you're stuck. So that's why the Mechaber says it for Lashon B'diyadat. Atkan Dibrei Ataz. So the Chalkas Binyamin, it could be it's in last week's booklet, the Chalkas Binyamin asks that at the end of the day, this is so, sir, a very famous Taz, that in Simin Aleph, in Hilchos Shechita, where the Taz in Hilchos Shechita differentiates between those things that are a mitzvah, that's a chiyuv agufa, that a person has to do, versus a mitzvah which is a matir like Shechita. When it comes to Shechita, there isn't a mitzvah to do Shechita, but rather the Shechita is done if you want to eat meat. And the nafgamina that the Taz discusses is when you have omed al gabov, even in theory, omed al gabe goy, when the mitzvah is not a mitzvah to chiyuv on the person, but rather the mitzvah is to make sure that the matir is done in an appropriate way, so then in such a case, you can make a bracha. The omed al gabov can make a bracha. So the world asks, a stira, the Chalkas Binyamin quotes this from a few achronim, asks a stira between this Taz and the Taz in Hilchos Shechita. The Taz in Hilchos Shechita says that when the chiyuv is a matir, so then in such a case, the halacha is that you could make the bracha as an omen al gabov, and yet here, the Taz himself ignores this possibility, and he says you're being master the bracha. And there it's mashma l'chatzfila. Yeah, that's what the Achron assumed from that taz. So I'll just tell you what. Take a look. Chalkas Binyamin has a complicated teretz. Take a look at his teretz. Rav Nevenzahl just said to me after I mentioned to him the Chalkas Binyamin's teretz. He just said you must say that the taz holds that there's a chiluk between tefilas kelim and shechita. That even though when it comes to shechita is a matir. Is not a chiyuv akarkafta the gavra in any way, shape, or form, and therefore an omid al gavra, if it's mistaber, the omid al gavra will be able to make a bracha. When it comes to tefilas kelim, once an individual has a kli, then there's that he bought from a guy, then he has a chiyuv tefila, he has a chiyuv alav to be tovel the kli. And in a chanami, there's a chiyuv on him to be tovel the kli, and that requires a bracha. So Nevenzahl just thought that you must say that tefilas kelim is different, and that works very well with what his Rebbe said as well, that once you have a kli, and you're able to do tefila, then there's a chiyuv on you to do the tefila. Derech Agav, it's also connected to what one of the Avreichim Chashuvim had suggested as a patent to a way to get out in terms of the chashmali, electric appliances. So somebody has suggested that maybe, according to Rav Shlomo, it was a very astute suggestion, that he had quoted the name of one of the younger Rosh Yeshiva in our yeshiva, that could be that since it might break, or it does, there's a good chance it's going to break, you're an ones, and therefore you're going to be pater. So it was suggested that maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman would agree with that svara as well, because Rav Shlomo Zalman had said that when you're an ones, like in the case of a hotel, so then in such a case, you don't have a chiyuv tefila. So I'm just The Taz is by itself. You have Rav Nevin Sal's Yisod, which you take from it. You take a look at the Chelkas Binyamin's Teretz. That's one thing. And then I'm just coming back, finally wrapping up Siman Kuf Chav, this suggestion. So I asked Rav Nevin Sal did not like it. He didn't like that suggestion. Not that he didn't like that young Rosh Yeshiva from our Yeshiva. For sure he does. But he didn't like that. He didn't think that it was based on Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he said, I think also astutely as well, that Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter was only in a case of where you don't own it. When you don't own it, then in such a case, it's considered an onus. But he said that if you own it, then Rav Shlomo Zalman is not going to say that you're an onus. Then you've got to do everything you can, because according to, similar to what Rav Nevin Sal said earlier, that now there's a chiyuv akarkafta degara for you to do tefillah, and that might be a chiyuv tefillah like a ner Chanukah, so on and so forth. Then he thought it was different. Both those moments, the way Rav Nevin Sal responded to his taz, and also the way he responded to his ara, unfortunately he's aged very much. Sometimes it even looks like he's not entirely there. I asked him a student on the taz on the spot. He answered without a second hesitation. Same thing. The moment I suggested the svar that we thought, wow, maybe ulai. I said absolutely. He said absolutely not. That there's a chiluk between the case of. Rav Shlomo Zalman's case, where he doesn't own it, versus this case. You could extend it that far, but he thought
this regime also gave he was not to a goy.
Okay. So then Rav Nevin Sal Lishitaso here Lakula said added. He said he thinks that the minig is that the minig is to be machmir to a goy. Okay. So that's Simin Kufra about this. This young Rosh Yeshiva, I, a few years ago, we were learning, I forgot what it was, my Bar Mitzvah, and it was around Sanhedrin. And he presented something which I thought was not the way the Ramban said it in Sanhedrin. So I asked him about it. He said, but the Ramban in Bechoro says it's exactly the way I said it. And sure enough, I was in Bechoro, so it was exactly the way he said it. Yeah.
Sorry, is it
go ahead. Yes, keep passing the water, please.
Electrical appliances. You should do the going thing.
What's that?
Rav
Nevin Sal holds. Yes. That's what I was driving at. Nachon Moshe. Rav Nevin Sal holds that we not like the Taz Lamaisa, that we rely on it La'orach Zman. I even mentioned it at the time.
Okay.
Against, that's right. Last time we mentioned.
We said Shas Achar last time?
Yes. So Rav Nevin Sal considers this a Shasat Chak. It's going to break, then that's considered a Shasat Chak. But the point is, he doesn't hold like the Taz that you have to be, you would have to be koneh every week again and again from the gut. And that's it. So that's a Lamaisa, that's what Rav Nevin Sal Shlita would suggest, that a person to be above. And that is in a case of a case where there'll be a Hefzik Gadol to be makneh to a gut. Okay, B'siyata D'Shmaya, let's begin Hilchos B'Shalachim. What I'd like to do with you today is go through the Gemaras pretty methodically. B'Shalachim, by the way, it's quite a bit harder than Tfilas Kalim. I would argue that it's harder than Hefsher Kalim. The reason for that is because there are quite a few variables both in the Metzius, and every time you process a Shaila of B'Shalachim, there are a set of questions that you have to ask. And those questions are, you only know those questions after you've learned the whole siman. So therefore, I'm going to, on a certain level, disappoint you today, in the sense that I'm not going to get very much to Lamaisa, and we're going to go slowly through what we're going to do is go slowly through the Gemaras, the Shulchan Aruch, the Nosei Kalim. Along the way, we'll slowly get to the case of Alach Lamaisa, but I think that if one runs into the Alach Lamaisa without going methodically through the sugyas, then one could really, really miss the forest from the trees. Okay. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei on the days tells us, of course, the prohibition of Bishul Akum, along with Yisra Pas Akum, which appears in Kuf Yud Beis in our Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah says that shlakos, as well as, of course, the Mishnah has the Iser of Shemen, which Rebbe Ubeis Dino or Matir, and the Mishnah says as follows, so they're usher if the goy processed them. We also have, of course, Cholav Akum, Cholav Shechel Bo Akum, Ve'en Yisrael Ra'ehu. Over here, of course, you have the hatch where you have Yisrael Ra'ehu in the Mishnah. Va'pas Va'shem and Shalem Rebbe Be'estino Yitiro. Whatever the reason for the Gzera, Rebbe and his Bezdin were Matir. Hashem and Va'shlachos Ukvashin Shadark and Losvis Lasochan Yayin Bechomets, etc., etc. Those things are going to be Osir. Shlachos. Let's focus on Shlachos. Shlachos are a cooked a vegetable that's a delicacy. We'll see in a moment why I say it's a delicacy. Rashi says, Vashlakos, Kol davar shebishlo akum, afilu b'kli tahar, b'kulu misham chasnas. So we're going to jump into the tamim of the Yisra of Bishlo Akum, and Rashi says that it's because the Yisra of chasnas. As the Gemara says in regards to pas akum, this also is the reason why Bishlo Akum is asur as well. The Gemara on Shlakos, which appears on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, that was Lamed Hay Amid Beis, the Mishnah on Lamed Hay Amid Beis, the Gemara says, asks the source for Shlakos. Let's do this Gemara. We're going to do 20 lines of Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Zakte Eli Gemara, Vash Shlakos, that's 10 lines from the bottom. Minani meaning, how do we know that Bishul Akum is Asur? Amar Rabbi Shkia Bar Abba Rabbi Yochan, Omar Kra, Eichol the Kesef Tashbi Reini. This was when Bnei Yisrael had asked to pass through Moab, and they said, "We'll provide our own food." They said, "What we'll buy from you is water." The only thing that they would buy is water that's not changed. So therefore, what's permissible to buy from a guy is only those things that are not changed. Now, stop right here. I'm going to obsess on this a little bit. You guys worked a little bit on Bishul Akum, and of course the two famous kolim Bishul Akum are that what's aser is only davar she'enu nefachai, and what is olal shulchan melachim. The sugya doesn't start off that way at all. The sugya starts off with a klal that, in, for lack of a better term, in Beis Yaakov they don't teach. And that is that a davar shelo nishtana mibriyaso. In other words, what is going to be asr is only those things that are davar shenishtana mibriyaso. So the Gemara says, el me'ata, chitin vasayin klayos. This is an important term, klayos. Klayos is a parched wheat. In those days, that was a nice delicacy. The raya is in Hilchos Yom Tov, we know that you give the kids, on Yom Tov, you buy your wife a dress. And for the kids, you give them kloyos le'egozim. So in those days, that was like, you know, Huckleberry Finn munching on the straw, but they wouldn't munch on raw straw, they would munch on parched wheat. You should say it's also. Okay. So the Gemara, that basically is what the Gemara suggests. That the klal we will learn from the pasuk of Ochel Bakesef Tashbi Reini. Asks the Gemara in the last three words of the Amid, Midei Urksiv? Does the Pasuk say specifically about whether you need to cook it? So the Gemara says, since the Pasuk doesn't talk about whether the water was cooked or not, and we know that the Yisra is Bishul Akum, the Gemara rejects that pasuk. Elamid Rabbanan ukras machta ba'alma. But rather, this whole din of Bishul Akum is a din of Rabbanan, and the pasuk is only an asmachta. Okay. So what do we have? We have the farish that Bishul Akum, the Gemara thought was daraisa, and the Gemara says, no, the pasuk is only an asmachta. Okay. So, lahalacha, that's how we paskin, that it's mid Rabbanan, it's not mid daraisa. And we saw Rashi that said that it was Mishum Chasnas. But take a look at the top Rashi over here. Midrabanon, Alam Chesam et Aleph, Zokte, Elegir Rashi, Shaloye Yisrael Rogil Exloi, the Meichel Ma'ishtav Yachalenu Dover Tomei. Wow, wow, wow. The Chura, the Velt, they say over, a Stirin Rashi. The Rashi on Lamed Zayin on the base said what? That the Rashi to me, Lamed Hay on the base on the Mishnah says Mishum Chasnas. That's generally how most assume. However, Rashi on Lamed Chesam and Aleph says that it's an asmachta ba'alma, shelo ye Yisrael rogel etzel b'machal mishnah v'yoklanu davar tameh. Baruch atah adonai eloheinu melech haolam shehakol miyam v'tomorrow. Let's take a look how the Beis Yosef says it. Let's take a look at Beis Yosef, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, the opening line, opening lines, says Rabbi Yosef, in Aleph Shlako Shabishlam Akmasurim, Mishnah Perkein Lamidim, Mani Shlako Shalgayim, Mechlal, Mine Shlako Shalgayim, Mechlal Dvar Masurim Achila, Pirush Rashi, Shlakos Kol Dvar Shabishlagayim, Vafil Bekli Tar, Bekul Mishum Chasnos. And it's all due to the Pshash of Chasnos. The Rambam has an added Hagdara, so I just want to point out, of course, the Beis Yosef went with the first Rashi, and not with the second Rashi. The Rambam also famously goes with the idea that Bishul Akum is also because of chasnus, and not because we're afraid that the Goy is going to give you Dvar Isser. However, the Rambam has a little bit more. Where do we have the Rambam in our booklets? Yeah, in the third or fourth to last page. The Rambam in Halacha Tezvav says, second half Halacha Tezvav, she'ikra gzeira mishum chasnus, the primary gzeira was due to chasnus, she'lo yazminu akum etzlo besuda, so that the goy won't invite you for a meal. The dover she'ena ola shulchan lachon lechos v'pas, ein adam mezamin es chavero ola. So the Rambam has an added knetch over here. The Rambam says that the chashash of chasnus is that the goy is going to invite you over, you'll become social, and then chas v'chalila, we're afraid he'll come to marry his daughter. So Rambam adds, that is the reason, that we're not going to focus on too much right now, of the reason of olal shulchan malachim. That olal shulchan malachim is those things that you would invite someone over. It's those things that you wouldn't invite someone over for, a cup of water, so then in such a case, then there isn't the chash of chasnus at all. So Rambam takes this idea and he sharpens it a little bit more. Let's continue on in the next more famous lines in the Gemara. The Gemara then continues, on Lam Chesam et Aleph, Zok Dehelege Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Kol, Anechol Kamoi Shul Chai, Ein Bo Bishul Akum. Anything that's eaten raw is not subject to Bishul Akum. Okay. By the way, the Rishonim discuss is nechal chai, the same thing as davar shelo nishtanu mibriyasa. We'll come back to that shortly. The Pashas of the Gemara, I would say, is no. There's some medayik in a Rishon, the Rajba, that maybe holds the same thing. But the Pashas of the Gemara is that it's a different category. We'll get back to that. So Gemara says anything that's eaten raw is not subject to bishul. The Surah Masnohachi, that's what they taught in the Surah, the Pampadisa Masnohachi, they quote Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak in a different way. Amarav, Kol She'ena Nechal, Al Shulchan Malachim, Alafos Vaz Apas, anything that's not eaten on a Shulchan Malachim as a condiment to the bread, Ein Bo Mishulei Akum. That doesn't have Bishul Akum. Originally, the Gemara understands that these Shitas are Cholkim, and the Gemara says, the difference between these two shitas are dogim kitanim va'ardi v'daisa, that dogim kitanim are not nechal chai, but they're not olal shulchan malachim. So according to the first shita, they'd be aser. According to the second shita, they'd be mutter. Ultimately, the Bali Tosas points out, and it's mefurish in the Rambam, Tosas in the Bar Maskil, ikubeinayu, is that we paskin that you need both of these criteria. In other words, if you have an item that is ola shulchan malachim, but is nechal chai, so then in such a case it would not be subject to bishlakim, and vice versa. If you have an item that is not nechal chai, and therefore one would think it's part of bishlakim, but it's not ola shulchan malachim, it's also not part of the Isser. Take a look at the Tosas. It's a brilliant Tosas. How Tosas is medayik that, but this is the Gemara. The Hagos HaShri on this Gemara has a fascinating take. Take a look at the Hagos HaShri also in the booklet. The Hagos HaShri in Simen Chaf Ches. He comes back to the Tam, to the Tam HaMitzvah. So we have two, when it comes to Bishul Akum, so we're going to have, of course, two possibilities when it comes to Bishlachim. Either it's going to be Chasnus, or it's Shema Yafi Lenu, that we're afraid that the guy is going to give him Dover Tamen. Those are the two Shashas. Says that goes Hashri, V'Rashbam Kosav, in Simen Chav Ches, V'rashbam kasa b'shem Rav Hosseinu, the bishulei akum nesam mishtam gzer shem yachlenu ovid kalkovim, dover tamei. Hilkach, he says something extremely sharp. Hilkach dover ha-mishtana v'briyasa ha-yidei ha-ur, bein mivushalim v'mayim, bein svuyim b'ur, asurim mishtam bishulei akum. Oh, says the Hagos HaShvi, if the chshash is that you're afraid he's going to give you a davar tamei, so he says, then it makes sense to differentiate between davar shenishtana mibriyasa al yidei ha'or versus not. Why? Very simply, a piece of, once upon a time, it was very easy to tell anybody, most people knew the difference between what a piece of pig looked like versus what kosher meat looked like, what cow looked like. That was obvious. The problem is that once you start cooking it, that's when it's hard to figure out what it is. So says that Hagos HaShvi, the Gemara originally was assuming that the Isser was Shema Yachilenu. And therefore, there's a differentiation between Dover Shalom Ishtanim Ibriyaso versus that which is not, because then you're going to get confused. He continues, "Avol b'midi lo de lo basha shalom shtam b'riyasa ein lachash advar tamei." So that according to the Hagos HaShri, this category of davar shalom ishtanu is going to be taloi in whether the chash is chasnus. If the chash is chasnus, so then you shouldn't differentiate between the two. But if it's Shema Yachilenu, then it makes sense. This is the Hagos HaShvi.
The Rashi is in the wrong place.
Oh, very good. Yafeh. I was hoping one day that it would answer the Rashi as well. The Rashi, if Rashi had just waited one more line of Gemara.
But it comes out now. Okay.
Yeah. I was driving at that, but I decided not to discuss it. Well, that's for the base marriage. Yeah, Rav Moshe, go ahead.
Also, when Rashi says, talking about bad food, he's saying you're going to be there for a whole meal and they may serve you some other food.
Oh, really? Rav Moshe wants to suggest, you said it. But Rav Moshe wants to suggest, perhaps, okay, that Rashi is saying Shlo Ye Yisrael Rogletzel B'Michael Mishnah B'Yachilenu Dvar Tamei, that we with him often he'll end up eventually, but not necessarily that food, even that. Okay, Yesh Tefalpo, but that's Hagos HaShri. Interestingly, the Ran also argues with the Rambam and others who miss the Dover Shalom Nishtanim B'Briyaso. Take a look at the Ran in the booklet, right either before the rush or after, before the rush. The Rams were on the bottom of page 28 in Avodah Zarah, the Divrei Maskil is Vashlokos. The Ran says the following. V'nirli, first word on the line is V'yachilenu. About 8 or 9 lines from the bottom. V'nirli, he says, even if it's an asmachta, that doesn't mean that the asmachta doesn't tell us something about the halacha. Klayos is that parched wheat. Afilu dover she'enu nechal kamo shulchai, va'ola al shulchan melachan achos bayas pas, ein bo mishulei akum. He says, since it's not nishtan and b'riyasa, the klayos look exactly the same. So says the Ran, it's still going to be mutter, even though it's not nechal chai, and it's olal shulcha malachim. That's how the Ran paskins. So here, you have another shita amongst the Rishonim, where you have the Ran saying, that Dover Shalom Ishtanam Ibriyaso, says the Ran, is still taken seriously, lahalacha, and the Ran uses it, lakula, for klayos. Okay. With that in mind, Let's now begin the words of the Halakha Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, Dover Sheinu Nefel Kamo Shehu Chai. Something that is not eaten raw. V'gam Oyla Al Shulchan Malachim L'Lachos B'Asapas, Ole Parperes, Shebishlu Akum, Afilu B'Kli Yisrael, U'B'Beis Yisrael, Asam Yishum B'Shulei Akum. There's a lot packed into these opening words of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that you have two criteria, Dover Sheinu Nefel Chai, and Ola Shulchan Malachim, then in such a case, that is Bishul Akum. Comments the Tas, excuse me, the Shah, Sivkotan Aleph, Midlo Hisna Mechaber, Shehe Nishtanu Ebriyasa Yidei Yehur, the Mechaber made no mention of the third criterion. So the Shah says that the Mechaber, based on the Rambam, of course, I would speculate, that the Mechaber holds that the halacha is that Dover Shalom Nishtanu Ebriyasa is not an important criterion. Alma the Spirle, Afilu lo nishtana osir kedasa Rambam shevi beis Yosef chen dasa Rabbi Darke Moshe toz chatos zedaito pahagosim in beis. And then the Shach claims that he thinks the Ramah also agrees with this. Why? So if you take a look and see if beis, the Ramah says umuta lechol afunim kliyim shel akum, you're allowed to eat nuts of goyim. The Einon Olam al Shulchan Malachim, roasted nuts. This gets back to our favorite case of all, the whole year, the roasted nuts in Central Park. So says the Ramah. The Ramah says there's no problem mitzad bishul akum. No problem bishul akum. Why? So why does the Ramah say? Because Einon Olam al Shulchan Malachim. Wait a second. There's another factor that you have to process, and that is lo nishtanu mibriyasan. Why didn't the Ramah say that's lo nishtanu mibriyasan? The fact that the Ramah didn't say lo nishtanu mibriyasan, it's not the strongest diuk in the world, but the fact that the Ramah doesn't bring it up at all, and he could have brought it up in Siv Beis, says the Shach, tells us that that is not going to be an important criterion. Avo Bemes, Nirik, Bashaska, Rav Rashi. The Ain Osir Mishum Bishule Akum, Elokishan Ishtanim Babriyasa. That the only time you're going to have Bishul Akum is if you also have Nishtanim Babriyasa Yideya Ur. If it's also Nishtanim Yideya Ur, so then in such a case, then it would qualify as Bishul Akum. So Rabosai, is there any other nafkaminas that we could think of? Not the conceptual nafkaminas right now. Just in terms of something that is dover shenishtanu b'briyaso, where the halacha would change, where there would be something. The best way to go would be you would have something that is eino nechachai. It's ola al shulchan malachim, but it's not dover. If it's dover, shelo nishtanu mibriyasa, something that stays the same.
Einu nechal chai, but it stays the same.
Could you have such a case?
It depends on how you define the
nishtanu. Very good. So the answer would be that it's something that you see. It's edible, but you see a tangible change in that food. There's a tangible change in that food. So I'll tell you where we might have examples. There's certain peros and yurakos, right? Certain peros yurakos that are not nechal chai, okay? And olah shulchan malachim. But if you don't see a shinui mibriyasan, so then according to the Shach pointed out the pashtus in Shas was that you could be mekel, right? Because that's another criterion. But in Shulchan Aruch, that criterion is not mentioned at all. That would be one case. And you could have another criterion in another direction. What happens if you have something that should be asur? This might even be more lemaisa. This will be even clearer. What happens if you have something that's going to be asur because it's olal shulchan malachim? It should be asur because it's a davar anechal chai, right? But it's a davar shelo nishtanim mibriyasa. And therefore, that's a reason to be matir. That would be a reason to be matir. If you could construct such a case.
Is it nechal chai or not nechal chai?
Let's say it's not nechal chai. You mean to be mevashel. So then, what's that?
So what's the case?
What would a case like that be? You think
again, if you define nishtana, that you have to be able to see that it's different from what it was before.
Right.
The lot of foods that after they're cooked and they're you don't see right away that they're necessarily different.
Oh, okay. So that would be an example of something.
It's not true that I mean, how could you have something that's eno nechal chai that's not nishtana mevashel?
Okay. No. So by the way, you have photocopy. The Pri Chadash agrees with you. The Pri Chadash claims that they're two. That they're the exact same thing. Take a look at the Pri Chadash. It's in the booklet. Pri Chadash is in the end of Sitkatan Aleph. The punchline is very clear. The Pri Chadash agrees with you, but I'm not convinced. The Pri Chadash says Lufizeh. Ochel shelo nishtan mebriyasa, v'davar nechal k'mo shel chai, hakol davar echad. They're the exact same thing. The Ran said not that way.
So let's,
before we think of an example on our own, let's speak out the Ran. The Ran says, let's go back to the Ran. Everybody go back to the Ran. The Ran told us, on Yudalit Amadeus, the Ran said, that kloyos, she says, kigon kloyos, Afilu hu davar she'eino nechal kamo shulchai. It's not eaten raw. Va'ola al shulchan malachim, but it's not changed al yedeya or so parched wheat. That's the example. Parched wheat. That's not considered a significant change, says the Ran. And therefore, the Ran says Allah is that kloyos is going to be mutter, even though you need the fire, but it doesn't make a significant tangible. Tangible change. The Pri Chadash is the Farish against this Ram. And it could be the Rambam agrees with you. And so the Nafkamina, we'll suffice now with the Nafkamina of Kloyos. Kloyos is a Nafkamina, the Ran's Nafkamina. And what emerges is as follows. We have a Nafkamina in Pshat, and we have a Nafkamina in Halacha. A Nafkamina in Pshat, when the Gemara suggests, Davar Shon Ishtanim Ibriyaso, does that suggestion remain in the maskana or not? According to the Ran, the answer is yes. According to the Pri Chadash, the answer is no. And the Nafkamina is going to be, even if you have something that's olal shulchan malachim, again, I told you this was going to start off academic, it's not too much lemaisa yet, but it's olal shulchan malachim, and you have something that is eino nechal chai, but if it's davar shelo nishtana, mebriyaso, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that it would be mutter. You would have a third variable that would be able to be matir.
So what is the difference about kloyos?
Kloyos just makes it edible, but you don't see a tangible change in the parchment.
What's not going to be that kloyos according to the parchment? What is that?
The machlokus is whether that third category of davar shelo nishtana mebriyaso is central or not.
We have to define it differently. The Pri Chadash is defining nishtana mebriyaso as being a change in
the or the pri chadash in a chanami, right? I'm a kabbalist. Nachon. Okay. So this is that third category, and this is the shach. Now, getting back to these nafkamis, okay, Rav Yonah, if we move on, I want to. The Pisrei Tshuva in Sitkatan Aleph gets us the practical nafkamis. Says the Pisrei Tshuva, Ayin Be'er Heitev, Shalom Arit, Shekhasar. The Iker Akzeira is Mishum Chasnos. He says that we paskin that the Iker Zera is due to Chasnos. Vayin Besefer Tversa Moshe Shekhasar. The Lefitam Zeh Shari Bishul Shel Mumer. So mishum chasnus leka. So we're going to have a big nafkamina between chasnus and shemiyachin lenu, and that is the category of mumar, a mumar lechalal Shabbos. So there's nothing wrong with marrying the daughter of a mumar lechalal Shabbos. We had Ramosha last week, right? That said, it could be that she's not even a bas nida. So that you don't have. Hello, Shaya. Oh, time of word, but they see also the Shemi Yachalem Dvar Masurim. But the Chash, Shemi Yachalem Dvar Masurim, that applies also to a Mumar. If he's a God, Bishol, Shem Mumar Asur, Tav Kikol for Kol HaTorah Kula, the Shemi Yachalem Dvar Masurim, we're afraid that he's going to come to give Dvar Masurim. If he's a God, who had in Mumar L'chal Shabbos, the Far Hesel, Kol HaTorah Kula, Chutz Mishtayim El Didinam Ka'akum, these, you would have the problem of Shema Yachilenu Dvarim Asurim with these individuals. So again, so when it comes to Chasnus, there is no Chash of Chasnus. Shema Yachilenu, there isn't going to be a Chash. What is it seeing that the Tiferes Lamosha learns, how he learns? The Pashtus is that the Tiferes Lamosha holds that Mumar is going to be Mutter. Now this is going to be have profound Nafgaminas. Rav Neman Sal is not so happy with the way the Shoel presented him in the Sefer Mitzion Teitzei Sora, but if you take a look towards the end, just to see how some people think of the Shaila, the Shoel on page Resh, this is about the fifth or sixth page from the end. Shal Zachuas Mitzion Teitzei Sora. So the Shoel asked the following two questions. Number one, Resh Nun Aleph, Shaila Resh Nun Aleph. Tinok Shinishpach, Peim Bishul Onesha Mishum Bishul Akum, Lo. So Rav Nevinzel said that Tinok Shinishpach doesn't have a problem of Bishul Akum. Now Tinok Shinishpach doesn't know anything. We should be Choshesh that he's going to be Machal him, Machal Sasurus. So Rav Nevinzel, as the Ol Yaakov points out, he's the same person who wrote the Mitzion Teitzei Sora, points out that Rav Nevinzel seems to be going with the Tiferes Lemoshe. We're going to see that there are other poskim who are not as lenient as Rav Nevinzel. This is the long, generally Rav Nevinzel answers him one word. It's a big chiddush when he uses four words. You'll see in a moment why. He then follows up with a question, and he asks, is there a problem with Bishul Akum by falafel balls? So in another place, Rav Nevinzel is not convinced falafel balls are Olal Shulchan Malachim, but this is a classic shayla. You go into a falafel store here in Israel, and the fellow there's nothing indicates that he's religious. So is there a problem with Bishul Akum? So look at Rav Nevinzel's sharp answer. Beli kippah eino akum. So just because he's not wearing a yarmulke, that doesn't mean that he's a goy. Nevinzel's avas yisrael. So beli kippah eino akum. So they point out in the footnote that Rav Nevinzel is going with the idea that Number one, just because the person himself is not religious, does that necessarily mean that there is a chash bishul akum? And then Rav Nevinzel is even pointing out to understand here in Eretz Yisrael, there are many Jews who are Masorati Jews who might not could be that you wouldn't have the chash of Shemim Serenu. However, just to know, and not surprisingly, it's a machlokus between Rav Nevinzel and Sternbuch, both of them Shlita, that the Rav Sternbuch, if you take a look in the previous page in Kuf Tzad Nites, he quotes from Itzion Teitzei Sora, that Rav Sternbuch is machmir. Ayin b'tshuvas, tshuvas v'an hagos, shekos adav, sheikor akzera, shel pas akum ha'in mishun chasnos, mekol mokom nehirti yesh lesa pito shel mumar. Here we're talking about, not talking about bishul akum, we're talking about pas akum, presumably the same would apply. U'mechal ha'shabes b'farhesya, kim de ikor isman shel chasnos, ha'inu kira b'ineinu l'v'inom, shezeh mei v'chasvachal l'srachik mechayim ha'torah, So Rav Sternbuch doesn't agree with the whole Pischei Tshuva of Bizman Hazeh. The Pischei Tshuva had suggested that if you go Shemi Yachalenu Davar Asur, and he himself eats treif, not talking about someone who doesn't wear yarmulke, but he himself eats treif, he really does eat treif, it's unfortunately in Tel Aviv where it's mamish treif, v'chulei, then it would be a problem of a bishul akum. But if you hold that the chash is chasnos, so there's no issur of marrying his daughter if he's entirely Jewish, comes along Rav Sternbuch, and again Rav Nevinzel paskin that the Iker is, and we're going to see in a moment, that's the Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch, that we're not Choshesh Rishem Yechin Lenu Davar Asur, but rather Chashis Chasnus. So therefore, Mem Tzal Paskin Lekula, by someone who's not religious, but his daughter is Jewish. However, if Sternbuch says, even if Chashis Chasnus, he believes that the Chashash of Chasnus is not intermarriage, the Chashash of Chasnus is the negative effects of a secular lifestyle. So according to Sternbuch, he's just exploded the chash of Bishul Akum, that any time you have somebody that you that the it's concerned that particularly he says Mechale Shabbos Bifar Hesia, then in such a case he's Machmer Bishul Akum. I'm not aware of a Mem Sal Shlita being Machmer on even Mechale Shabbos Bifar Hesia as far as Bishul Akum is concerned. I don't feel that I'm ra'ui to take a position on this shaila. I'm just putting out the shita of our great Rebbe and the shita of the Cholkin. Yes?
Is the Pshat Hashem Yachru, I knew that he's going to make a mistake and he's going to accidentally feed you?
I don't think so. I think it's...
It's on purpose.
I don't know. No, lav dafka l'hachis. It could be a combination of both.
Well, because a mummer, then if it's that he's either not like l'hachis, but doing it purposefully, so then I understand why it could apply to a murmur and not a tinshin ishba. But
right,
meaning there is yishvachalik. It just depends on if it's just by accident, just right. Because there's a lot of shirfood around. In which case, anyone who doesn't keep
on. I hear the chiluk. I hear the chiluk. Right. I hear that chiluk. In a chanami, there's yish yoter lizgadirbo. I agree. Just in terms of back in a chanami. That needs to be refined more. The Taz and Sifkat and Al take sides on the issue. The Taz, and this is generally the way the world, and this is where Rebbe himself is coming from. Taz and Sifkat and Al says, Hatam dikar exerim shum chasnus, v'dover shen choshev kolkach in adam mazmin chaver olah. So the Taz puts together the Rashi on the Mishnah. He ignores Rashi on the Lamaches Hamid Aleph. As Rabbi Yamin alluded to, Rashi's on the Kav of working beautifully with Agos Ashri, and then he says it slightly differently. So we have a Tzarachim Godot on Rashi, and the Taz basically ignores that Rashi, and he puts together Rashi and the Mishnah with the Rambam, and he says that is the rationale for the Heter of Eina Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Okay. Let us do the more technical of the two Heter. The more dramatic is talking about what Donald Trump and Queen Elizabeth eat. That's the more dramatic in Hilchos Bishul Akum, and we will get to that exciting stuff as well. But the more tedious is actually the other nafkamina, and that is Eino Nechal Chai. So if you take a look, Eino Nechal Chai, we have to define what is the criteria of something that is Nechal Chai. Now this is going to spill over to some difficult seifim later on. We're not going to be makif hakol. Sif Yud Beis is not an easy sif that's going to get involved with this question. But let's start me'akal el hakoved. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkat and Yud Beis says that we define a dover nechal chai depending on place. And place, in different places, it's the what's common is different. Take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan on the third to last page. Dover Pashtul, Dil Inyan Dover Shein Nechal Kamo Shul Chai, Holchen Acha Rov B'nei Adam. Dima Rov Ein Holchen Machal Zek Kamo Shul Chai, Acha Yotar Ofo Mekol Mokha Masar. In other words, you cannot say, somebody give me an example of what would an example be? Of a Dover Ha Nechal Chai by Yechidim. There are some people that
sushi.
That will no sushi. Sushi we're going to get to. Sushi is something that a lot of people eat. You're right. Rav Shechter's perspective of sushi is that it's still a meal. Nachon, it's very fascinating. Rav Shechter a few years ago thought that it still was something that was uncommon. Okay, whatever it is that fish. Let's talk about fish. If you have certain types of fish that some people eat raw and some people eat cooked, if the minority of people eat it. Cooked, if the majority of people only eat it cooked, and you eat it raw, that's not a heter. It's going to be usher for you as well. An example of that is there are some people who only like carrots cooked. Most people eat carrots raw. So for that individual who only likes carrots cooked, so then in such a case, Bishul Akum will also not apply to him, even though you could argue that for him it's a davar, sheino nefal chai. So that heter would apply to him as well. Aval, here's the critical line also in Aruch HaShulchan. In Medina achas ochlo kishu chayev, Medina acheres ein ochlo zerak mevushol, ein nevatlun zelizeh. So it really depends on country and culture. That there are certain cultures where, countries where it's common to eat it raw, and certain cultures and countries that would not. I would imagine that there was a time when, sushi 100 years ago in Asia was eaten raw. No one would think about it in Western countries to eat it. So then, in Asia, then in such a case, it would not be Bishul Akum. And in the Western countries, it would. So it really depends on country and place. I would imagine here in Israel, 10 years ago, sushi, no one would think of eating that fish raw. So there, Bishul Akum would apply. And in America, already 15 years ago, it was pretty common. So then, in such a case, Bishul Akum would not apply. I'm not talking about myself, sushi, just in the world of theory. Okay. So this is in regards to Rove. Now let's go to Simin, Sibbeis and Gimel in Kuf Yud Gimel. We're going to come back, of course, to Olah Shulchan Malachim, but we'll first focus on Dabar Nechal Chai. That's how the Mechaber first focuses. Zot Eilig Mechaber, Irei Dabar Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. Im Dabar She'eno Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. You have a mixture of food. One of them is an item that is eaten raw, and one of them is an item that is not eaten raw. Ubishlam Ha'akum, and the guy cooks them together. Ima ikar davar sheish bo bishum mishul ayakum asar v'mav mutar. So here we follow the regular rules of ikar and tafel. If an item that is being cooked has both of those ingredients, so then you have to focus on the ikar. So let's try to, here the devil's in the details, as I mentioned before. So let's try to get a precise case in regards to a taruvas. Now there are going to be a few different levels of taruvas. We're going to have to go back, drop to Hilchos taruvas over here, in the most elementary way. So what would be a good example of this mechaber? You have two items that are being cooked together. Try to think of two ingredients. You have two ingredients that you have, some that's nechal chai with some that's not nechal chai. Okay, you have apples being cooked. Some reason the person's cooking some type of fruit. You tell me, what goes with chicken? What goes with chicken? What's normally cooked? Chicken? What? Some type of fruit. Pineapple, right? They sometimes make a pineapple with chicken. Okay. So pineapple is a davar anechal chai. The chicken is davar shein anechal chai. You cook them together. Rabbi said, what's the halacha? Bishul Akum or not? You allowed to have the guy cook it entirely? No. Not allowed to. Why? Because you follow the ikar. The ikar is not the pineapple. The ikar is the chicken. Smooth. Okay. So that's the halacha. The Ramon Beis is going to get involved with Shulchan Malachim. We're going to try to stay in order. Let's continue with Siv Gimel. Says the Mechaber, Panada. Sha'afa Akum. The Panada is the discussion amongst the poskim. What exactly is this Panada? Trying to decide which pshat, just to get to, just which mitzius for us to run with, nothing to do with the halacha per se. What's going to be the easiest mitzius in terms of bringing out this halacha? No one has a pchalkas pnama here, do you? Okay, let's assume that the panada is a food item that has dough. We're going to see in a moment that it has dough, and it also has some type of fat of either a fish or an animal that's inside him. Says the Mechaber, Panada Sha'afa Akum Asura. That's going to be Asur. Afilu Mishinoi Keter Bepashel Akum. Even though we're making on Pasha Akum, just a little bit back, unfortunately, we're not going to have enough time for Pasha Akum. So Simin Kuf Yud Beis, let's just run through this very, very quickly. In Simin Kuf Beis, we all know that Pasha Akum is Asur, and the Mechaber there in Kuf Yud Beis Beis says, Yesh Mekomo Shemekilim Bedogar Velokim Pas Minachtom Akum, B'makom Sheinachtom Yisroel Mepnei Shishas Hadchak. So this is a famous heter that many, for generations, relied on, based on Yerushalmi, and that is that pas akum that's cooked by a Gentile baker is going to be permissible. Why? Because when you get from Wonder Bread, assuming that's kosher, so what are the problems going to be? That you're going to marry the daughter of the fellow who works in the factory of Wonder? So that's not so likely. What's Lakshash? Lakshash is he's going to invite you over to break bread. But you don't break bread with the fellow in Wonder Bread. So this is the rationale in the Yerushalmi that made sense in those days, that makes sense today. Of course, there are many who are makbid and pass Yisrael as well. So that's the Yesh Mekom Shemekilim that appears in Kuf Yud Beis Beis. Everybody should have that address. So here the Mechaber says that even if you follow the Mekilim in regards to Pas Akum, Afilu Mishinoi Keter Pashal Akum, Vipnei Shashuma Neser Keshu Be'en Mishum Vishulei Akum. Oh, here we've got the following problem. Here we have, you have a dish, this panada that we said was a mixture. What they did was, they had this mixture of both bread and this fish inside. V'nivla b'pas, and it gets absorbed in the pas. V'chein yirokos ha'necholim chayim shebishlam im basar, asurim ipnei sheshuman shel basar, nivla behem. And also the yirokos that are eaten raw, that are cooked with the meat, is going to be asur because of the shuman that is of the basar, that's nivla behem. Not that the meat is treif, but you have the problem of bishul akum. So, what exactly is this halacha? This halacha is teaching us the following. This halacha says that if you have something that is already asur bishul akum, that is then cooked with another food item, so then you don't follow the rules of ikar and tafel. Then if that the item that is already asur bishul akum gives off something, we're going to describe in a moment what that is, gives off its identity to the other item, even if that item is a tafel, nevertheless it's going to be asur. Or even if that item is going to be an ikar, it's going to be asur. Explains Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Ramaskal of the Nivla Bepas. Va'af de batal berov, hacha gara da shuma nira v'nikar v'en v'tocha pas. Even if the rov, in this case, is the pas, and the pas is mutter, nevertheless you're going to have a problem of bishul akum because, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, because it's nikar. If it's nikar, it's going to be asur. So we have two halachas. One halacha is in halacha beis, is if you want to define whether this food item is a davar anechachai or it's not a davar anechachai. There, you go after ikar and tafel. Then we have another shaila, and that is, if you have an item that is subject to bishul akum, whether it gives off its iser to something else, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you would follow rov. In other words, if it's pas that's receiving the bishul akum from another food, you would say, is the rov now of the pas that you're eating, does that have bishul akum? So if the answer is that rov of it is not, it's mutter. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that over here, because the yisur is nikar, so then in such a case we're going to be machmir. So this is how Rabbi Kiva Eger learns. And that's the difference between Siv Beis and Siv Gimel. Siv Beis is talking about you want to define whether this ochel is subject to ikar and tuf, whether this ochel is subject to bishul akum at all, because you have part of it's a davar nechachai, part of it's not. Siv Gimel is talking about something else. Siv Gimel is talking about in a case of where you want to know if that which had Bishul Akum gives off its Iser to something else. So the answer is it can. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, why don't you follow Rov? He says, the reason why you don't follow Rov is because there is Nikar HaBishul Akum. The Shuman, which is subject to Bishul Akum, is Nikar inside of the Pas. I basically saw this in this amazing Sefer, Otzer Hilchos Bishul Akum. It happens to be, I know I have a little bit of a bias, but it happens to be that I bought this off the shelf in Aruch Chaim. I was very impressed thumbing through it. I have other Sfarim also on Bishul Akum that are very good, but this is by what I've seen so far. Most thorough. Happens to be that he's learning with Piskiol's Kol in the Old City. I didn't know that at the time that I bought it. He's very, very thorough to the point that's a little bit difficult because he cheshvons every single Rishon within the Sugya. Very, very thorough. Based on what he, this is not my own, he points out that L'chura Rabbi Akiva Eger, I'm putting together his words, but sorry, this is L'Hagdol Torah L'Adira for the Beis Medrash. We discussed, made reference that in Kuf Yud Gimel Tes Zayin, the Mechaber's Paskins, that if you have a Kli that was used for Bishul Akum, then the Blios in that Kli are going to be Aser. That the Blios Aser, right? Everybody remember that? Let's just see it inside, for those who, just to review. In Kuf Yud Gimel Tes Zayin, you have Kalim Shebishul Be'ma Akum Lefanenu. Then in such a case, then Tzrichim Hechsher, they need a Hechsher. So he understands that when it comes to Bishul Akum Aser is even with Tam. So if you have meat that is Bishul Akum, that's cooked with Yerakos, if it gives off the Tam into the Yerakos, so then in such a case, then you have Bishul Akum. Then you have Bishul Akum. See, he alludes to the fact that there's even more room to be Machmir than Rabbi Kiva Eger. You could say that you don't even need Nikara Iser as long as the guy was mevashel the meat, and the meat gives off tam into the yirakos, so yirakos become usher even with tam, even without the nikara isur. In such a case, it's going to be usher even without that. But either way, this is the way Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to be mazur. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that the case over here is that the shuman is still nikar in the past, and that's why the past is going to be usher. You could have even said better, or you could have said more chamur. You could have said that if the shuman gives off the tam into the pas, by definition, then the pas is going to be us. You have a teretz for why, yeah, Yosef?
I don't think that's what really Kiniger's trying to define, that if you cook two things together, neither of them was cooked before, and now you're cooking them together, so is it considered like one taru, like one food or two foods? In the instant phase where it's two things that are totally mixed together, so it's one food. It's like the classic example, like beer, right? That you mix the wheat with the water. So that's one food. So here it's you're cooking them both together, and one of them is nicker, so it's not a tarubis. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He's saying it's not a tarubis, and therefore they're each individually looked at as being cooked, and then the tam transfer.
I hear. Let's see if it works with the way the Chalkas Binyamin explains. Let's take a look at Chalkas Binyamin Os Yud Ches. I want to process what you're saying. Second to last page in the booklet. Let's take a look. It could be you're right. The Chalkas Binyamin says like this in Os Yud Ches. B'siv zeh, ma'iri ha-mechaber b'dvarim shenis aravu kodem ha-bishol. So that's Beis. See, he says that Beis is talking about dvarim shenis aravu kodem ha-bishol. The kamash malon does lina basar ikar shim ikru dama nechal chai dos v'yisir bishol aklam. And you want a taina that Sif Gimel is like what he said in Sif Beis. Is that what you want to say? That just like he said that Sif Beis is talking about that they were originally cooked together, So that's what Siv Gimel is also talking about. Is that what you're saying? Okay, so say it again. That Siv Beis is when they're being cooked together.
They're being cooked together and they're totally ma'uruf.
And they're totally ma'uruf. I agree, that's
one of
That's why I agree with that. Okay. And Siv Gimel.
Siv Gimel, so they could also be being cooked together, but the point is that since they're each nicker, so they're considered being cooked separately, so there are two separate shilas here, bishalakum. And since the shuman or whatever it is inside of the pas here is being cooked and it's subject to bishalakum, so its tam is going to be transferred. And okay. Of course tam could be transferred. Good. That's why the bread
beautiful,
is
beautiful, 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 beautiful. I hear what you're saying, but now I have one follow up question. But
eating the shuman.
No, but that's why the pas is also because of the tam.
Isn't the shuman in the pus?
Let's say you separate them afterwards.
Wait, one second. I just want to qualify one thing to make sure, Yosef, I understand what you're saying. And how is that different than Sifka Zayin? Because Sifka Zayin, in other words, yeah, go ahead. In Sifka Zayin, we see that you go after Blios.
It's the same thing.
The Blios are already ushered.
Both of these cases tell us that Tom is ushered.
Yeah, then why would Akiva Eger say that?
The only finish here is that the Shuman that's subject to Bishalakum here, as opposed to
Chal. Oh, he's a Chashivas.
It has Chashivas. So Bishalakum is Chal on that.
Yefemot. Okay, Yefemot.
Yefemot.
Okay, so let me just crunch what Rabbi Yosef said. I'm sorry. So it's clear for everybody else. What Rabbi Yosef wants to suggest is that Siv Gimel. The halacha over here is that when you have this flour with the shuman, so then in such a case, how do you decide whether there is an item over here that's subject to bishul akum at all? Just like we had in Sif Beis, then Sif Beis, you define it based on ikar and tafel. So over here, when the shuman is nikar, so that in itself, the shuman is nikar, so then in such a case, that's going to define, that's what he wants to suggest, is going to define it. That could be the pshat about what's going on over here. And then Einach and Ami, then the Blios would also ask her, but Rabbi Akiva Eger is trying to explain. Okay, I have a follow-up question, but I'm afraid we're going to...
I think my Havana is based off what I saw in the talks. I mean, I don't remember. We were learning with...
It sounds right. Sivdalet, in my edition. Oh, he quotes both Sivdalet and Sivdalet, correct?
Yes, yeah, so that's talking about the bait that are put on top of their spread on top
right.
of
the bread.
And the shayla, I thought kind of what we were saying is that the shayla is the same shayla, meaning when you have two foods that are.
How do you define the food? I hear. It sounds good. I have a follow up question, but I think that's fine for us for now. Yefemot. Okay. So that's as far as that is concerned, and that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger is pointing out. Then what would emerge then is still the point that I'm leaving aside. Yosef answered my kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eger, but then I'll just make one final point, and that is just coming full circle is that Bishul Akum though could also aser if it's tam, and the proof of that is in Simin Kuf Yud Gimel at the end, and that is that if you have the blios of Bishul Akum, that will also aser another food item as well. So don't make the mistake that just because Rabbi Akiva Eger said that you need the Shuman and Nikar doesn't necessarily mean that if you have a food item which already was subject to Bishul Akum, which was then cooked with something else, and then it gives off tam, then it's mistaber, it's totally in that Machlokas Rishon, in Sifta Zayin, and then it would answer.
Just one more quick point.
One second.
Then it would all be.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Yosef. Say one more thing, and then I want to do a bishul akum bishul. Yeah.
Isn't the town point also just the exact, the second half of Sif Gimel? I mean, isn't that clear? That's meaning you don't have to talk about the Kalim, just the second half of Sif Gimel.
You see that from there. Mm-hmm.
Uh,
Yes. Says the Shach, Sivkot and Hay. In Sivkot and Hay, the Shach adds, V'im Panada, Shel Dogim, Kainu V'Poskim, V'Kosam Arami Tiktim, V'Gilin Amartati, V'Ilu Shuman Shel Basar, O Shel Avza, Staman Kfar Mahuta, V'Ein Bo Mishulei Akum, V'Ein Bishlach Abishul. He says, it depends on what type of meat we're talking about. If the meat was a meat that had already been, a fat that had already been cooked, so then in such a case, we assume ein bishul achar bishul, and the halacha is that it's not subject to bishul akum. So this is an important rule. And that is, bishul akum is subject to the rules of ein bishul achar bishul. And that's very, very helpful. You might have a case a lot of times that you realize, oh my goodness, it was bishul akum, that you forgot the pilot light didn't work. You know, obviously that's a big sugi, the pilot light, which we're going to eventually get to, but the pilot light for whatever reason didn't work, and it's a shaila bishul akum. If the housekeeper was simply recooking something that was cooked before, so then that won't be subject to bishul akum. You take a look in the last page of the booklet. So Rav was asked, "Ma din berotav kar shenachri chimim osay achrei shekvar itbashel mikodem leday Yisrael?" What's the halacha of a cold gravy that was already cooked by a guy? Is that subject to bishul akum? Last page, he says, "Lo, it wouldn't be subject." So the Ol Yaakov points out that Rav is saying a little bit of a chiddush over here. Not only did we learn in the Shach that the Shach said ein bishul achar bishul when it comes to meat, it could very well be, you could argue, that that only applies to davar yavish, because we know, how do we paskin hilchos Shabbos? In hilchos Shabbos we paskin yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. It's a machlokas rishonim, Rashba and others. So here, Rav Nevinsal is suggesting that this rule of ein bishul achar bishul would apply even to rotev as well. So even though in hilchos Shabbos the halacha is that would be machmir. Nevertheless, when it comes to this, then there's room to be makor. Yes,
the Ramah in Shabbos was really makor din
pari. Right, that's a big shabbos. Ain't nothing on it. No, but he's arguing even according to Mechaber. Where Rav David is referring to is Amir Tzashem next year. Those who were zochet learn hilchos Shabbos is that in hilchos bishul the pashkos is that the Mechaber is machmir. Of Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach, but the Ramah is only a chumrah in the Chshash Hashem Yechate B'gacholim. That's how many, that's Machlokas Achronim, Rabbi Kiva Eger and others, how to read the Ramah. That's a famous Machlokas. But at the end of the day, Rav Nevinsal is saying this not only according to the Ramah, even if you hold B'das HaRamah in Hilchos Shabbos, that he holds Mikra Dedina Ein Bishul Achar Bishul even B'davar Lach, but he's suggesting Likulei Alma, that it's going to be mutter. That's how the Ol Yaakov understood what Rav Nevinsal said. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, next time, we're going to get into the bowels of Bishul Akum, B'siyata D'Shmaya. On Thursday, what we're going to do is we'll wrap up anything else that's important, Davar Nechal Chai, and then we'll begin Ola Al Shulchan Malachim, as well as, of course, the issues of pilot lights and so on. And hopefully by Monday, B'siyata D'Shmaya will be done. Rabbi Yosef, my follow-up question on what you had said was the following.